Yeah, another episode of DMC, Dating, Mating, and Communicating. We talking whose body's calling my name, love languages, and millennial sex slump, and more. Stay tuned. You're running me dry. Oh, girl, you're running me dry. Cry my last tear drop. Okay, Constance. Oh, she's been stocking my cream, I think. That's why. But she good, though. Yeah. She good. This that new Bryson Tiller. The album just dropped this past weekend, and I hopped in the studio, and Constance had this ready to go for you guys at home. So big shout out to Constance.
You can clearly see my man's Jimmy V is super excited right now.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it's dope.
I like this a lot.
But Jimmy just got his life right now.
One thing I like about Bryson Tiller is he tells the realness in his relationships. And he's going through this, I just got paid, so I'm dealing with all these girls who just want to sleep with me just for the money. So it fits perfect with this episode here, Whose Body Is Calling My Phone? Because apparently he's been dealing with all the time. But before we get into it, I'm your boy Jimmy V. It's been a long day. I'm happy to be here. Twitter, Instagram, at Be Your Own Dad. Let me introduce my panel, of course.
Hey, everyone. How are you? It is Constance Dunn. You can always find me on Instagram or Twitter, Constance Dunn.
And it's your boy, Chaos J, K-A-O-S-J, on Twitter, Instagram, Chaos_Oceans31.
So today, I woke up.
Why Ocean's 31?
Right, yeah.
Because your boy's so wavy, and I'm bringing 31 flavors of waviness every day, all day.
My fault. I didn't mean to, you have to itch.
It's an itch that you have to scratch. You cannot just say 31, Ocean's 31.
I mean, you know, I was going to just leave it like that, but I appreciate it.
When he does it 10 out of 10 times, you know, you're just expecting it. And then it was just like, okay. But guys, I woke up today. I looked outside. It wasn't even a sunny day out here in LA, really. It was just kind of a little overcast,
a little gloomy.
June gloom, yeah. It's early, a day
I
early.
Guess so. It's already about to be June too.
What's crazy, right? But then yet, I mean, maybe this is just for the areas that I'm in between Long Beach and Manhattan Beach, but it's still kind of cool. The queen came in with a jacket.
She a very fashionable jacket.
I mean, always fashionable.
Of course. It's the queen.
But I mean, for June, you would expect it to warm up. Although I did see that it's supposed to start heating up towards the end of the week. So,
Okay, good.
That means this can be closed. Will be coming out.
They will be back.
That means Jimmy will have excuses to just walk around with no shirt on.
Yes.
No reason.
Have you seen my Instagram? Nah, I'm playing. But yes, June is on the rise. Memorial Day just passed by. I hope all of our viewers had a great Memorial Day. I hope you stayed safe. I hope you didn't get into no relationship issues, because once that liquor hits the system, ain't no telling.
And the parties started, like the warm weather parties with scanty clothing, whatnot,
pools,
drinks flowing, people having fun,
nip showing, everything.
Have you guys ever been at a party and you see someone across the way, so you kind of hit them with the... You know,
I did that. I've done that. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I'm a starer, not starer. Because you know me, I'm typically not a big first mover. But I can do... I put myself in the line of fire. This is what I do. And then make sure... So in the line of fire. So you know that I'm vague, could be interested. So at your point...
Make it clear.
Yeah, and then I make it open. You could come on over. And if you don't, then you're just not interested.
So if he never comes over, would you go over with the sexy
old... Oh, my gosh. You know, it's so funny. There was a man so fine, and I was with a friend, and we're having cocktails in some lounge bar, and we're sitting at a table. He's at the bar, and I was eyeing this man, and he did not have a ring thing. And I was like, you know, Maria, should I go? I go, this guy is so cute. And she's like, you want a power player, and that guy, you've made it obvious that if he's not a power player or he's just not available, forget it. So she had a good point. Because if someone's smiling at you, like looking over, not like crazy, like weirdo smiling, just like glance, the thing, you know, the glance, the look, the slight smile, the turn away, the repeat a few minutes later.
Really is a process, you know, when you think about it. Because I remember I was a huge... if you guys don't know yet, we are talking about body language, of course, but, always coming up, I'm a flirtatious guy, but when I'm afar, you know, what's up?
Boom, real low key, maybe a little shy.
Exactly.
Well, see, for me, can I cut you off real quick?
So
for me, I do the whole thing too, you know, the, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And in most situations, I would always be a little shy. And I'm constantly, like, the whole time, I'm, you know, like, I know that the clock is ticking, like, okay, like, you can only exchange glances so much before you have to go over there. And then, so I'm sitting there trying to think, like, okay, what's my icebreaker? What's my line?
Yes.
Like, how, what am I going to say when I get over there? But then, in addition to that, it, you know, it's just like,
Damn.
Yes, that's so funny. But it's true, though. Now, that gap that we're talking about here, because I've had experiences where we're playing the eye game. It's just do, and then it's like, okay, somebody has to go make the move. So I went and made the move, and she hit me with the, she wasn't doing the eye game the whole time. I felt so salted. Yeah, guys, you have no idea.
Did she get you the curve?
So we were actually on stage at some, like, a DJ club party, right? I see her. Wait, now, I confirmed the whole eye thing, you know,
right?
Boom, boom.
Because it's a
threefer. We go back a few times, you know. So I was at the point, okay, let me go do my thing. So I take a sip, swagging on over there, whatever the case. I was like, hey, what's up? How you doing? And then she hit me with the...
No!
I was like, oh! I was like, whoa! Oh,
was she wicked shy? Oh, I wonder if that's it, because that's weird. Like, was she just maybe crazy shy?
I feel like if a woman's shy, she'll just be a little more soft-spoken, and you just have to press the conversation more, but just to do that whole turn?
Yeah, right,
that
was the whole curve.
Turn was a curve.
That's
so
curve all day.
I was like, wow, I just took an L in front of everybody, but I'm gonna act like it's cool and just walk it off, and I'm like,
Good for you.
I was so mad though.
Did you go hide in the bushes?
I was messed up the rest of the night, but I was like, we played the whole, I'm gonna look back at you, you look back at me. I gave some time to not think I'm thirsty or
but
something.
But see,
you know?
was it the matter?
And when I made the move, nothing.
Okay, but was it a matter of you thought she was looking at you, but she was probably looking at somebody next to you?
Because
I've had that too. Like, somebody waving, you're like, oh, hey!
Isn't that
like,
the worst?
You start walking towards
the
and you look, and then somebody else, and you're like,
is that
oh,
the worst, though? Man.
It is the worst on the street. But it's even worse when you're at a party or a group event, and then, like, everybody sees you.
And everybody knows. Now it's like, what you gonna do, Jimmy? What you gonna do? And so it's like, now I got to. You know, I was going to, but now I got to. You know?
Well, that's my thing, too, is, like, again, when there's that pressure, like, when you have that eye contact. And for me, if I'm really feeling myself and I've had a drink or two.
And I got a fresh fit on and some new sneakers.
Right. Then I don't even really need that much. Then I'm not buying myself as much time. It's the times when I'm less confident and I'm not really that feeling myself that much. Do I need to buy myself some time and come up with an icebreaker? Usually, sometimes if I'm, you know, feeling myself, I just cowboy it. I'll figure it out when I get there.
Oh, cool.
Gotcha.
Well, you guys remember Steve Brown, the comedian, was on, and he did a... And he has
shout out to Steve Brown.
Yeah, shout out to Steve Brown. We'll be seeing him more of him tonight.
Definitely.
But he had a tactic, which I thought was great. He says, never let them see you coming at them. Always be right there so they don't have time to assess you visually and say no.
Ooh,
not that they would to either
nice.
Of you guys.
That's a gem.
Nice. It's a
right
damn
what's
gem.
Not nice is that you just said we'll see him later, so that means he's got the show tonight, and I got no update.
Oh, no. He's in one of our, I believe, features.
Oh, okay.
He's actually
he got a show tonight?
Yeah,
he was in Harlem the other night.
And speaking of Steve Brown, right now he's back on the East doing some shows.
Okay,
I just got done speaking with him 2 days ago. I was like, when you coming back? He said Friday. I'm like, I hope you ready to work, because I'm ready to put in work. So
that's what's up. That's
you guys
what's
are good
up.
Together.
Shout out to Steve.
Hey, just something on before we leave this topic. Just something from the textbooks. There's something that guys should know about. Oh, yeah, the textbooks. Sexual overperception bias. It's something that guys have embedded in them. It's from evolutionary theory.
Sexual overperception bias.
Right.
Sexual
so men, because their idea, if the drive is to populate and to, of course, bed as many women. This is, again, evolutionary theory, so it's something that would be very embedded, maybe not even conscious. The idea is that you'd rather risk being rejected than losing a sexual opportunity. Does that make sense? So men are more likely to... let's just use this one. I was in the grocery store, and I looked up at a guy twice. I wasn't looking up at him. I was looking at something behind him. And then I went, oh, no, because he I knew, thought that there might be a sexual opportunity there. you know. So he came over and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I had to do the nice like, oh, I was just looking at the freaking zucchinis behind you or whatever.
He's like,
so,
yeah, I bet you was looking right at the zucchinis.
So it was,
I got some zucchini.
Yes, and there is more zucchinis here. So sexual overperception bias. The idea is that in the past, a man, if he wants to be as successful, he needs to make contact with as many women as possible. Whoa,
because that increases your odds.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right, right, right. So the idea is that, of course, evolutionary theorists say that what men have embedded in, because you are the descendants of people who were able to mate very successfully for many years, that the idea is that you would always want to take that risk.
So I think that's...
Rather than miss an sexual opportunity.
Understand that, okay. And I think that exact example that you gave was when you give a message verbally and the body language-wise might be a whole completely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which happens all the time. So how do we fix that, guys? How do we, first, how do we recognize? And actually, before we step in there, I got to recognize Kels, your hat. I got to speak on it. Where'd you get that hat? The brim reminds me of the DJ Khaled book that he dropped, the keys. I've been thinking about it ever since we got on set.
Actually, this is a Monsters of Dance hat.
Okay.
A couple years ago, right when I got back from overseas, I went to the Monsters of Dance convention. Because your boy is I'm a
DJ.
I'm a former dancer. But yeah, I DJ Chaos on the ones and twos as well. But no, I was there to actually just train and study some new techniques and choreography and stuff like that.
Okay, so dope. Well,
I'm a little rusty at the moment because I haven't been in the, dance studio. But, trust, your boy still got, I got the moves.
Have you watched the new show up with Jamie?
World of Dance. I caught a couple snippets of it last night, but I was actually trying to catch up on something else.
Mm-hmm.
Which was another J-Lo show as well, Shades of Blue. I was trying to catch up on that because I hadn't seen the last two episodes. And, so.
I will give it to J-Lo. Like her or not, don't like her, she has optimized every damn opportunity.
Yeah, she has.
Definitely. Not the best singer, not the best dancer, but she is working,
but
she working,
but she's
work.
A damn good actress, though.
Is she good?
She is. No, I'm agreeing with the queen here on the action. Okay, but see, here's the thing.
I feel like she's the same character every year.
You're talking about enough and a couple other things. But no. I gotta go ahead and rep for homegirl because Shades of Blue is my jam.
Really?
Shades of Blue is really it jam. But it's a really, really well written show and the chemistry is not sexual. But the chemistry between her and Ray Liotta is bananas.
Awesome.
It is really a good show, and I feel like this actually does give her a chance to showcase some range.
Wow.
A lot of, more popcorn father, like Made in Manhattan, stuff like that, maybe doesn't allow her that much space to be creative and show range.
Yeah.
This show gives her that range.
Okay.
Because she deals with so much on so many different levels, it has to put on so many different faces with the different things going on from episode to episode. It's trust. If you have not seen Shades of Blue, check out Shades of Blue.
I'm sure there's an
it's on Hulu
after show. There's got to be one.
Oh, there's an after show. So by all means, TV. Check out the after show, but definitely check out the show itself.
Okay. But one interesting thing about J-Lo, she's always in love, right?
She
just got done, messing around with Drake, which I heard that was like her booty call, but that's a whole another thing.
Is that like a rebound thing?
But now she's on to A-Rod, right?
Wow, that's risky business. That is risky business.
That's the
business.
Only problem I've ever had, and it's not my place to really have a problem with what she decides to do with her, her cash and prizes, but I just always felt like, yo, let your sheets cool down a little bit.
Yeah.
I brought it up because
but I only say that because it's not me. Now if it's me, then this there's a whole different situation.
I think
K-Lo.
K-Lo.
girls.
I think she's the perfect example though of what we call language of love, right? The different ways to express oneself. Because
absolutely,
you said you think she needs to slow down.
Sometimes.
A lot of people, they let other people say, hey, you just got out of this relationship and you're on this one. And we spoke about it on this exact show. It's not the best way to get over your last relationship to get to a new one. But we've seen J-Lo, she kind of just goes with emotion.
She does.
Not that that's wrong, but that's just the way she does her thing.
And think about her life, too. Like, of course, we don't know what it's like to be her, but it's incredibly glamorous in the sense that she's very accomplished. She's made her own money. She can do whatever the hell she wants. Very powerful woman. She's a good-looking woman. So she can kind of float from dude to dude. So in a way, why the hell would you get married? Why the hell wouldn't you just have fun with whoever you want? Because you could just be like, next.
And this is no different than what male celebrities, you know, A-list male celebrities do. Mm-hmm. So, again, let's go ahead and knock out that double standard.
Right. What's a few ways you'd be able to show J-Lo love, you know? You ain't got all the money in the world.
I don't.
I bet there's a few ways you'd be able to show some love tour there. Maybe
you've got the body language. So you've got, you know, if she's receptive to, and I believe she is, you know, cuddling, being affectionate, hand holding, things like
so,
that.
So physical touching.
Right. Not only that, but you know, sometimes it's not even really about, you know, the big things in terms of like being able to buy her this, you know, this bag or these, you know, these shoes. It's, you know, the small things, you know, the little, you know, little love notes and you know, and simple gestures and ultimately being the gentleman and being chivalrous with her when you're going out. Simple things, you know, loving on, you know, oh, you know, you've been on set all day. Let me get them toes. Let me give you a back massage. Let me rub your feet. You know, I'm going to cook dinner for you. Let me draw you a hot bath and some champagne. Things like
that. A lot of times, too.
Which, and again, your girl don't have to be J-Lo for you to do that.
Right, so that's an acts of service. And just to, if we could get that graphic up, that'd be great. The five love languages, some of you might know about this, has been popular in popular culture in the last few years. Dr. Gary Chapman, shout out. He's done years and years of marriage counseling. And there are basically five ways that he has determined that people speak and understand emotional love. So the five ways, we have the graphics, we'll see that. But we have words of affirmation. We have acts of service, just what Chaos was talking about, drawing a bath, giving someone, doing something kind for somebody, like filling up their car when they're about to go on a long trip. Third, receiving gifts. Fourth, quality time. It's a big female one. Five, physical touch. That's a big guy one. So the idea is that for me, receiving gifts have always been nice, but they've never really floated my boat.
Because you're in a no-frills type of woman.
Right. But I know that with other people, like women I've known, they really are so happy when a man gives them even a teddy bear from the drugstore or a card. That's like worth a lot. And so it's basically you have to find out. It's a smart guy or a smart woman that finds out what their guy or girl likes. One of these five. It's going to be one of these five. You could usually observe.
It can even be a teddy bear from the guy that, you know, set up a table on the side of, you know, Hawthorne Boulevard with, you know, flowers and bears that, you know, he, you know, gathered from, you know, who knows where. You know, it's the thought that counts.
Absolutely.
What do you guys would say, out of these five that we just listed there, what is your go-to one, like your number one?
Mine's quality time.
Quality
time.
It's
a common female one.
Quality time.
That's a good one.
QT, man. QT. How about yours, Jimmy?
Acts of service. That's me.
Someone doing something kind for you, having your car detailed and washed for you.
Or I do it the opposite, you know. Yeah, like if I don't have time, I'm make sure I do this for them, you know, to kind of.
Men are very good. There's always that men are from Mars, women are from Venus here, because men often show love in this way. They do service oriented things for women, and there can be a disconnect, because women often want something like words of affirmation. They want the gushy wishy. Not all women, but that's a common
you're the air
disparity
beneath my soul.
Exactly. Yeah. Chaos, what are you?
I'm an acts of service kind of guy. I am, you know, it's something that I have to, you know, work on with the words of affirmation, even quality time, because your boy's, you know, a hustler. So I'm constantly working. But, I'm acts of service. You can definitely, if you look at my actions, you'll know, like, okay, cool.
I
got you. He cares. He did this. You know,
And you can look back at people in your life, girlfriends and stuff that you've probably had, and you could tell, oh, she was one of those.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then I also, on the flip side, for me, you want to win me over, you know, lavish me with gifts.
Is that what it is? You're a gift guy, then.
I'm a gift guy. Okay. I'm a
PlayStation 4, maybe. A couple of J's.
Right, you know. But I also like acts of service, too. So, you know, you do things for me. You kick in the clutch when I need you. Those things do, you know, win big with me.
Is there such a thing as you're doing too much? Like, I've heard females say, you're doing too much, or I'm doing too much, or just something of that.
Oh, no, that's definitely doing too much, and on both sides of the fence, doing too much, and I've always heard, and I used to hate it, you're too nice.
Really?
There's always the nice
guy. And being too nice always often goes hand in hand with doing too much, which also goes back to men sometimes. It also goes back to sometimes, you know, where men will do a bunch of different things, especially when they're in the courting phase, they're trying to get the inner interest of a woman. They do all these different, you know, things to try and win her over, like, oh, let me be super nice, let me do all these things to win her over, and sometimes that's not what's going to win her over.
Yeah.
And then that's how you end up being in the friend zone. It's definitely a fine line that you're going to tiptoe, you know, back and forth between, because you want to be able to do nice things so she's like, oh my God, it's so nice. But at the same time, you don't want to do too much, because then she'll think you're a pushover.
That's right.
And then
that's
she ultimately just puts you in the friend zone, which doesn't make sense when you take a step back and think of it, because you're like, this guy is trying to dote on you. Like, he's this is how he's showing you that he's interested and that he cares for you and he wants something serious with you. But sometimes women, they're not used to that. So they misinterpret it. And then they're just like, girl, no, he doing too much. He too nice. I mean, he cool. We can be friends.
And then, too, I think I'm actually glad you just mentioned that, because a lot of people, they've never received love in with it being quality time or acts of service. Maybe it's only gifts, so they don't know how to accept it.
Same with compliments. And you'll notice that, too, when you're in a situation where you give compliments to someone and they constantly find a way to kind of reject it. Like, they take the compliment and then they find a way to, you know, you're like, oh, you look really nice today. Yeah, but I'm really big and this dress is too tight.
Wow.
You know, things like that.
Exactly.
Women are, you know, famous for doing that. Guys sometimes, but more so women, because guys are the ones that are given a lot of compliments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. And you could be somebody who grows into this. You can grow into different languages. For instance, you might be someone who just never got a lot of gifts because your family just was not a big, you know,
or
holiday.
Or,
and then a guy.
Physical touch.
Yeah, right.
I came from not really, you know, like, I wasn't really cuddled and coddled and stuff like that. So I didn't really, my family wasn't really overly affectionate. So then in turn, that translates into my relationships. I'm not really, you know, as affectionate as I should be.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those habits are amazing. We were talking about nonverbal communication, body language, and just something that's so important. We talk about, of course, we live in a social media age, and going back to just the communication studies on the importance of body language, 55% of all messaging is body language, 38% is the tone of voice, and 7% are the words that are coming out of your mouth. Only 7%. Those were studies done by Albert Mehrabian back in the 60s, and they really stand the test of time. So the idea is that that's why face-to-face is so important, because there's so much bandwidth coming at me just from your body and by the sound of your voice. And that's why so much confusion abounds.
Happens in text messages.
It's so
social media.
Exactly.
You just made a great thing. You know, how do you, one, the tone? Like, if I'm speaking to you, if we just met,
right?
So you don't really understand how I talk through text.
Right.
So if I say something that's actually a joke, I'm over here laughing. You're like, did he really just say that? And you take it the whole wrong way.
Right.
That's a whole messed up moment there.
Right. You know? And even the most skilled communicators, it happens. So
right.
Again, 55 body, 38, let's just round it up to 40. So like 60-40, right there, you've got almost the whole thing. Body language, tone of voice.
Boom.
And I was just going to add to that. I lost my train of thought. I was just going to add to the...
Oh, about miscommunication, about a joke.
So the thank you. Thank you so much. And I feel like it's almost a requirement now when you're texting someone and you want to convey it, you want to send a joke, that you have to put LOL at the end of it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those is generic at this point. First off, I feel like it's lost its meaning. Like, people use it so freely now that it's, you know, half the time people are like LOL and they're literally typing LOL. They're not laughing. And there's times where I have to go and say, like, I'm literally laughing out loud. Like, I'm really, like, laughing mm-hmm. loudly where I am, although you can't hear it. But I feel like you almost now, that's the only way to get across to someone when you're texting them that this was a joke by me putting LOL.
Yeah.
But then I also feel like people use it as a crutch when they're talking, and they'll just be like, hey man, how's your day? Hello, well. What's so funny about yeah. you asking me how my day was?
Right.
So it's one of those things where, again, like we've said on the show many a time, it's really important to just pick up the phone and talk.
Make the phone call instead of sticking to text message or social media, DMs or anything of like that. If you actually have the number, I don't know about you guys. Like, if I'm pursuing a person, I'll stick to communication through the number. I'll stay away from any type of social media, you know, until it gets to that point or something. Or like,
right. Nope, I 100% agree.
But I've spoken with people and they say, oh yeah, I'm talking to a person. Oh, so you guys exchange numbers? We've been talking through message on Instagram or something.
Like, you're just not going to get to know somebody.
So then my thing is, how serious is this? Because if you're just only messaging, then that's not. And really, to like, I don't know. I need to get on the phone or have a FaceTime call so I know this is actually something
right.
You know,
like, serious, so you know it's real. You know?
Or meeting up. When I was single, it was funny because I'd get really impatient. I would internalize it and not express it. But if it was really quick, if we have a conversation, email or phone, if you're interested, the next thing is for us to meet in person, and I'm not going to make that request. And I would get annoyed if guys want to keep, I don't want to keep talking on the phone. Like, I'm not two. Right. A, I'm like, come on, chop, chop, chop. Like, you know, it would be very, like, I don't want to email. Like, we're not at freaking, we don't work at the same corporate branch, weirdo. Like, just bust
a
move.
That's a great point, though, because, yeah, that's why there's so many catfishes, which we all know about, of course, that actually go down because people don't ever want to meet up, or when they do say, let's meet, something comes up, and then, you know, all that stuff. Like, can't we just go back in time and like, hey, let's stay off the phone. Let's go take a walk or something. Be like, yeah, meet me here and here, and then
right.
Boom,
drinks
know?
After work, 5:30. It's right. done. Boom. We're meeting for an hour. It's not that hard.
Right. It's not that hard. And I'm actually going through something now I can share with the viewers. Hopefully she's not watching or something. I don't know. But there's somebody I've been talking with.
Nice.
And I've tried to make plans. They don't work out. Then
really?
She reaches out, hey, sorry, I got busy, blah, blah, blah. Let's do something this weekend. Okay, cool, fine, sure. Boom, bam, bam. They don't work out. So then it's like the same repeat thing over and over. I get the message again on like Monday. Hey, sorry, something came up, all this stuff. So
this is happening? How many times?
Right now we are at two.
Oh, wow.
So three strikes, you're out.
It's
going
to be true. Yeah. How
right.
fine are we talking? Okay, you don't want, probably don't want to. Okay, yes, I mean.
Okay.
She's
so,
she's got a man, Jimmy.
Maybe, right?
I wanted to touch on
that's,
a few things
my,
that.
That's what I would put my finger on.
Okay.
I wanted to touch on a few body language basics because I think we can all agree that, you know, we all have very busy schedules, and sometimes the other people have the same hectic schedules as we do.
Agreed.
And had you gotten a chance to at least see her briefly after her not being able to, you know, link up with you, she's like, oh, hey, let's just, you know, grab a Starbucks. Let's grab a cone from McDonald's real quick. And you were to talk to her and she conveyed to you, oh, I'm sorry, this didn't work out because blah, blah, blah. Some of these body language basics that I'm going to talk about will actually let you know if she's being sincere and genuine or if she's just blowing smoke up your ass.
Well, let me hear them.
All right. So the body language basics that you should pay attention to, courtesy of professionalcounseling.com, face, head, shoulders, torso, hands, legs, feet. face expression, movement of eyes, eyebrows, and mouth. Unlike any other muscle, it moves in different ways that will, you know, whether someone's talking out the side or they're talking straight at you, smirks, smiles, things like that. That's one way that you can convey someone's sincerity when they're talking to you, you know, or if they're, you know, blowing smoke up your ass. Hey,
and then, oh, it's just a sincerity and then, so
this
thing.
Is okay. All too.
Or I mean, just it can face-to-face be it can be a lot of different things. You know, head shaking, nodding, turning away, tilting, dropping or lifting. Sometimes when someone's listening to you intently, they may turn their head a little bit. They may tilt their head just, you know, ever
responding
so slightly.
Back to what
or
you're
they
saying.
May look down because they may be embarrassed or, you know, or they may be guilty of something. Shoulders, dropping the shoulders, tightening the shoulders, pulling backwards, hunching or the angle of the shoulders against the body. These things, you know, can are indicative of whether they're confident, whether they're lacking of confidence, whether they're arrogant, whether they don't care, things like that. Torso, you know, are they shifting in their seat? Are they leaning forward or backward? Are they leaning into you because they want to hear what you have to say? Because they want to be close to you. Hands, you know, are they fiddling? You know, gestures, handshakes, you know, are they touching you? Things like that.
Got you.
So
okay.
Those are some of the body language basics.
So one more time, it would be head.
Right. I didn't
shoulders.
Touch on legs, but yeah.
Okay.
Head, shoulders, knees, toes. No, I'm
knees
joking.
And toes.
yeah. Face, head, shoulders, torso, hands, legs, mouth, or hands, legs, feet. You know, are their legs restless? Are they sitting with their legs together? You know, why they're crossed? Do they shift to certain points in the conversation? These are all things, you know, we can all obviously do a whole other episode where we dive into this deeper.
Right.
That, you know, are indicative of their feelings, what they're thinking, how they're, how the level of reception of to what you're saying, you know, how much they're receptive to what you're trying to convey to them.
Yeah. Right.
And how invested they are in this whole experience that you guys are having.
That's why I'm going to reiterate, stay off the phones, get out the house, meet up with this person. If that can't go down, then if you have an iPhone, FaceTime, just so you can actually interact with this person on a level, just like Kels mentioned, you can see if they're doing some understanding of the thing or some, you know, or if they're embarrassed. There's so many different ways you can always tell how a person is responding to what
smizing,
you're saying.
For example,
you just have to
smiling with their eyes,
pay attention to
yes.
it.
You know, if a woman is really interested in what you're saying, she'll get a more doughy eyed look, you know, a doughy eye referencing a deer. She'll get a more doughy eyed look, and again, with the head tilt,
okay.
you know, things like
and
that.
And her pupils will dilate, same for men and women. It's a funny little thing. Your pupils, when you're seeing something very desirable that you want to take a lot of it in,
yeah.
your pupils get bigger. And it's a funny thing. There was a study done where they took a picture, same person. They had they retouched their pupils to make their eyes look bigger, and they were judged as more attractive. Because, of course, when our pupils dilate, it's perceived as more attractive.
Wow.
Right? It's all signaling. That's what all of this is. And it's so interesting.
That.
Something that is done, I know when I interview people, I usually have a tape recorder going. I usually am not really listening so much to what they're saying. I'm looking at their body and I'm watching their face. And when you start getting kind of tuned into nonverbal communication, we do it subconsciously is how we process it.
Yeah.
But just on the romantic and flirting, because it's a lot of fun to just start, of course, listening to what they're saying, but kind of take half your brain and start just blurring their words and looking at what they're doing with their eyes and their head. Women tend to do these little micro gestures. We'll self-groom a lot. We'll do a lot of this. We'll do like a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah, more or less. So if a woman's doing that quite a bit, and you could observe her when she's flirting and then when
she's
not.
Trust me, I'm observing.
It's just really fun. It's very fun. And I know in law enforcement when they interview people, it's a common practice because
definitely.
They are videoing the person.
Just to see, you know,
right.
The line
they're
not
even paying attention to what you're saying. They're just looking at you and getting the feel and getting the vibe.
I feel like this.
And looking for tics, which they're trained to do or not for interrogation. But
very true there. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for that, Queen.
And thank you very much, Chaos. Very interesting.
Right now, we've got something special for you guys. If we can bring up this link here. We mentioned the when you're doing too much, it can lead to something good or something bad. We've got a quick little fun clip for you here. We are going to bring it up here just a moment. And but we can get to that
right afterwards. How about we hit our one of our favorite sections, questions and conundrums, real quick. And this is from Candy Shop Girl. I wonder if she went to the candy shop. she mentioned, I saw your show a couple weeks ago where guys talked about thoughts. Kel's our show. Thoughts on thoughts.
Yes.
I think I'm a thought. Well, at least she's honest, right? And I don't want to be seen as one because I want a chance to date a nice guy. Should I tell the new guys I meet about my past? What do you think, Kels?
Unless there's going to be something from your past that they're going to that they really need to know, like, you know, you got herpes.
That's important.
No, I'm being all jokes aside. I'm being serious. Like, unless it's something medical that they need to know, or you're dating someone that you guys have a mutual friend or connection of some sort, then I say no. You don't need to share your past because it's not relevant to what you're doing present day. So you might have been a little bit, you know, loose and promiscuous in the past. If you're not that way now, then focus on what you are now and not what you were then.
Don't bring the past into the present. That's why it's called the past.
Exactly.
Constance?
I concur. It is funny. It depends. I think that somebody might be able to detect it, though, if it was a very flagrant, if you are somebody, let's just say, that was very, very, had many, 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 many partners, a lot of STRs, a lot of short-term relationships. I think a guy who is assessing you, who desires someone who has minimal short-term relationships, might be able to assess it if he's keen. But of course, there's no need to just spill the beans about something that's not relevant, because you're with this guy, you're making a new life for yourself, you're changing your behaviors, you want to attract a high mate value. So, no.
I agree. Leave what's in the past, the past.
Yep.
Just move on forward. So with that said, let's check out this fun clip that I filmed with my acting crew here. It's called When You're Doing Too Much.
I'm going to do my push-ups quick so we can head up.
How many else can you do?
Like 200 or 300.
I'll be back.
Oh, shit. Let me do my 300. Watch this shit. Oh, shit. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
I got you. You ain't gotta do no heavy lifting around me. Come on, man. Oh,
man.
Give me. I got it. You shit heavy.
Oh, shit.
Abs amazing in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah?
It's not all about the gym.
Man, yo, please hurry up. We got a movie to catch.
All right, come finish this. I'm gonna go throw on the shirt, G.
No, word. I got you that.
I'll finish this.
All of a sudden, the ladies leave. Yeah, that's funny because that is a very funny video, and I think that you have a lot of them too, actually, on your channel.
Yeah, go check out the Instagram at Be Your Own Dad. But that just goes into exactly what we are saying, though, especially with all this love language talk. You can do too much, and you might end up in the friend zone, which I'm sure every guy might have experienced one time in their life.
Yeah.
Or you just don't want to be in that. You're too nice.
Well, also, you could be dealing with what millennials are dealing with. I just want to touch on this very quickly. Fascinating study came out. And it's called Declines in Sexual Frequency Among American Adults. So this group studied this from 1989 to 2014. And it was really interesting. This really is a representative sample. It is people, all adults in America. So it could be any kind of education level, of course, racial or ethnic background. And they found out that as much as sexualized as our popular culture can be, that Americans are having a lot less sex.
Less sex.
From about 2010 to 2014, as those did back in the 90s. So especially millennials, it's very pronounced among millennials. In fact, they're basically having about sex about almost 10 times less. Not 10 Easy. Times, rather 10, their incidence, rather. Let's just say if you have sex 60 times a year, that's a kind of common number that's thrown out. It's a drop. You're losing 9 of those incidents of sex.
Interesting. Wow.
And it's very pronounced among millennials. And the idea is that the researchers did talk about That a lot of this has to do with there's fewer marriages because married people have more sex than unmarried people. But also in those that do have long-term relationships, there is just in general less frequency. And it's the most pronounced among people with college degrees. So couples with college degrees are having sex less, even if they're
too smart to have sex.
Yeah, too smart. Too smart. And there is a correlation to perhaps a decline in overall happiness. People in the 30s apparently were getting it on. They were having a lot more sex than the millennials are. So it's fascinating. And I really want to delve into this more because I think it's so interesting. Why do you think that people are having sex less? Millennials specifically. Overall, Americans are having less sex.
That's interesting. Only I think because the millennial generation, I think they're learning from the older generation because, you know, a lot of them are products of, I'm not saying one night stands, but like unplanned pregnancies. A lot of times, you know, the condom broke, whatever the case. Maybe they didn't know about condoms and condoms weren't really promoted as much compared to the, say, in the 2000s compared to the time before. So what I'm saying is maybe we're just more educated on sex. So with that said, they're having less sex.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Perspective. That's a really interesting concept or idea.
Okay. I have one, but I'm completely opposite. I would have thought
it would have been more. See, I would have thought, that's why this thing surprised me. And of course, I really want to delve into the data a little bit and talk about it more in a future episode. But
it's because I hear all the time, like, oh, my mom or dad did this at my age. I don't want to become that. So they do things, you know, differently to avoid what they've grown up with or they see within their parents. So
interesting. Yeah. And note that this has to do with frequency too. So it has the idea of it. It doesn't basically talk about whether you have a lot of partners. It just is basically
amount.
Yeah, the amount. So it's it's only a frequency study.
I'm a freak in the sheets. I don't know. Okay, so can I?
Yes.
Can I get the ball, coach? Okay. Well, first off, I remember someone telling me a long time ago that you think once you move in with your partner that you're going to be getting busy all the time. We live together. We can run around butt naked and just get busy anywhere.
Yeah.
And that you actually don't have as much sex once you start living with each other versus when you live separately. Next, with the advent of technology, now we are so much more consumed with our phones, with our tablets, with TV. It's bad business to have a TV in your room.
Yes.
Because chances are you might, you know, close out your evening watching TV. So instead of, you know, having a little pillow talk and then, you know, maybe getting freaky, you're still watching TV until you doze off. And then now that's canceled everything out because now you doze off. Then once you wake up to maybe turn the TV off, maybe you're just turning over and going to sleep. Another thing, you're on your phone so much that you're not really connecting. So there's no real decompression and downtime to where you two are connecting in the evening after you've had a long day, she's had a long day.
Right.
You guys are still on your phones. You're doing this, you're doing that. One person falls asleep before the other one. She goes off to bed. You're staying up. You're still on your phone. You're watching TV. Then you go to bed later. You guys have now gone to bed at separate times. So, yeah, you're not about to be like, hey, you awake? You awake? Some guys do that, but most... right. But in most situations, you just crawl into bed and you go to sleep. Yeah. And then that happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The next thing you know, you've got to the weekend, and you might get busy on the weekend, maybe once. And the next thing you know, it's Sunday, and you guys are both tired again from whatever happened on the weekend. Yeah. And you're it's a repetitive cycle.
Exactly. See, that's a good point.
That's a theory.
That goes to the findings, too, that those born in the 30s would have sex about 6 more times a year on average than those born in the 1990s, which that would be part, that cohort's part of the millennials. So the technology could have a lot to do with that. I think even if it's, especially with what you're saying about, like, pillow talk, like, I think that's such an intimate time. Like, talking in bed is so intimate. Obviously,
I'm single, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, and not only that, too, I'm going to throw one more cookie in that batch. I don't know.
Some more chocolate chips.
You know, something.
I love that.
But Mystique, which we are going to have a show about Mystique. If you dropping off a stanky load before you go to bed and your partner's waiting for you to come to bed and you drop off a stanky load, male or female, that's probably a turnoff. She probably don't want your dookie booty all up in the bed, jumping up and down with her at that point, or vice versa. Those are things that are turnoffs. The lack of mystique, you know, it could be something like simple. It could be something as simple as she didn't shave her legs. She has, you know, she wears pants to work and she didn't shave her legs. So she's got a little wolf action going on with her leg game. Mm-hmm. And for that man, that might be a turnoff. He likes smooth shaved legs. So she might be in the mood feeling a little frisky, but he goes to read and he's like, oh my God, like it's, she got more hair down there than I do right now on the legs. And then now, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and roll over, you know, and that's it. So it can be simple things like that. You know, she goes to bed wearing some funky old pajamas, you know, a nasty old shirt and her head wrapped up, you know. That's not sexy. And vice versa. He can get into bed with some holy nasty draws. And that's not sexy. Like, that's, you know, so those things play a part, too. Yeah. Whether we, you know, we may not say, like, why you got to go to bed in that? You might not say that, but you may be thinking that. And vice versa.
So I think it's don't forget how you are able to get your partner. You got to keep that up.
It's maintain. I am a huge proponent of this here, and you know I could talk about this. And I am
going to do a show about it.
It is an art and a practice, and it never ends. And it's a great thing because it's not hard. You always have to. Obviously, men are visual creatures. I'm talking from the female side.
Stop
obviously.
Pooping before you go to bed.
Well, always look pretty. It's like the Frank Sinatra song, "Wives Should Always Be Girlfriends." Wives should always be girlfriends.
But you could say the same. Husbands should always be boyfriends.
Yeah, husbands should always be hot 50-50. Stud pool cleaners.
Look, I got this shirt I'm going to drop into this load of clothes. 1 second.
Do we have time to talk about Kathy Griffin?
Do we have graphics up?
Can we get that graphic?
Please?
I'm going to need that graphic.
Also,
I just want to talk about, just real quick,
the five,
because we're talking about doing too much.
The five love languages, too, if we could get that. Or if not, obviously people all know about this. This just happened.
They're on the screen.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Kathy is on the screen.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, everybody, we all saw this, right?
Right.
Okay.
Fill me in. I'm kind of lost.
Okay. So, Kathy Griffin, was it yesterday? It was yesterday. Kathy Griffin yesterday with one of her friends as a photographer took a picture of herself holding a bloodied Trump mask, and it was made to look as if she had beheaded our current president. Mm-hmm. Now, it was meant to be a joke, similar to when Snoop Dogg beat up a dummy of Trump, mm-hmm. A Trump doll or whatever. However, there's so much outrage on the internet because of this, and a lot of people, you know, she ended up apologizing, taking the image down. She lost a few endorsements, mm-hmm. and she got fired from CNN. You know, she always does New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper on CNN. She got a lot of backlash, and she didn't just get backlash from the GOP and Republicans. A lot of the Democrats took sides against her as well, saying like, yo, you went way too far. Now, here's the question. Was she doing too much? And, you know, ultimately she was doing it for, you know, at the, you know, for the sake of making a joke.
A joke, yeah.
Was she doing too much? What do you think? Was she doing too much or are people just overly sensitive?
I think just based off me hearing it now for the first time, I think people are just overly sensitive. I get it. They're the president. They always put the president on this big old pedestal. We can't touch him. We can't say this about him.
I think even more so with this one.
But so with this idea here, definitely beheading somebody that's taking it to an extreme. Losing endorsements, I get the entertainment business stuff. You are representing something.
Squat a potty.
Right. But
which I've never heard of.
I don't think they should like be, you know, throwing rocks at her and
And it kind of feels like that's what's going on. Constance, what do you think?
From a communication perspective, that part interests me. It reminds me of that a line from that Rihanna song from a few years back, Take a Bow. You're only sorry you got caught. I think she thought this was going to fly. Her Hollywood buddies would have liked it. Anderson Cooper, one of her best friends, and also, of course, her co-host immediately came out. He's obviously not a Trump supporter. He's an influential Democrat, said it was vile, inappropriate. Chelsea Clinton. Again, not a Trump supporter. So I think that when the hammer came down on from people she least expected it, that's when she was sorry. That's all. An interesting communication.
Okay, thing. So for me, I thought it was in poor taste.
But I thought it was gross, by the way.
Yeah, it was definitely gross. Opinion, I thought it was in poor taste. Yeah. The only problem I have is that so many people are like, oh my God, and it's like the world ended yesterday, and how dare you, and it was just all this what I like to call fake outrage. Hmm. But I remember when our former president, Barack Obama, was in office, when people were making effigies and dummies of him and dolls of him and hanging them and gross. Burning them and shooting them and things like that. Bad. And there was not as much outrage. Yeah. So my thing is those people were allowed to express themselves regardless of the fact that it was in poor taste. She was expressing herself. It was in poor taste, yes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like let's spread that outrage. If you're going to be mad at her for this, then we should have been mad about that. Because both are bad. Right, I don't condone it.
Right.
I just think that people are a little too sensitive. But yes, on her part, it was definitely a bad move and it was a bad mistake. And she was, for this particular instance, doing too much.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree with the line in the sand as far as civility, and it should be spread out because whatever you think of whomever it's doing, it's happening to, whether we could even take politics out of it from it. Let's just say it was an actor. They were doing it to somebody else. Yeah. Somebody's going to be up there that you like. So it's like equal opportunity, right? If whether you like the person, whether you don't like who it's being done to, there's a standard that's being set. Again, this is just a cultural note. So it's good that there are lines in the sand that collectively are said,
too far.
Because then it would be much worse for the next president who you might adore or not adore or not care about. So it is interesting. Communication, it always fascinates me, these types of things. So. So it's either outrage, not outrage, very interesting. Good point, though.
Okay, well, bam, guys, there you have it.
Yeah.
That's what you have today for our episode of DMC, Dating, Mating, and Communicating. I want to thank both of my hosts for joining me today on the panel. If you have a question that you want us to answer, please don't hesitate. Hit that comment section. Ask the question. We will bring it on our following show and answer that live for you, of course. Now, we always love to continue the conversation. You can reach us on our social medias. Mine is... Twitter and Instagram at BeYourOwnDad. Of course, go check the blog, BeYourOwnDad.blogspot.com. That's always popping.
You can always find you at sixpack.com.
You six? Actually could, because I'm trying to get sponsored out here.
You forget about the other 12.
Yeah, I'm trying to get sponsored out here, you know what I'm saying?
Fitness model.
You could have had a keg, but you got greedy. You just
I went with the 8-pack.
Yeah, you went with the 8-pack and said you didn't feel like drinking that much beer. All right, I am Constance Dunn. I hope you guys had a good time. And of course, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. You can always find me at Constance Dunn, Instagram, or Twitter.
Real quick. Jimmy's not about to be the only one with 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 12 pack abs.
What you got, Cal?
Chaos is bringing something to the table.
Yeah.
Summer 2017. I'm not giving you a date yet, but I'm working on my situation. But you can find me in the meantime on Twitter, Chaos J, K-A-A-O-S-J, and you already know, Instagram, Chaos_Oceans31. 31 flavors of waviness all day. Keeping it delicious, keeping it sexy and fun. Let's do it.
And we will see you guys next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.